Blog Talk Radio.
Bye. N.W.O. Kitchen Fire. For real.
Babylon is higher.
Well, well. King Samir in that flag. Man, we are going to murder some pussy boy in all this flag. Watch us there, mash up the sound of pussy on my pressing bed. King, come in.
Well, it's one Medina soldier who be in your mind again. I cause the rain, the hell, the snow, earthquake, and the whirlwind. Kicky out Asiatic, you and living mathematics. Coming to you static, dungeons wait the devil's attic. Man them off the one, go plan them, plan for the murder. Have you ever heard or not? Tell me what's the word. Bombing all you faggots, man who follow Jimmy Swagger. Got the link for you, sticking pins in their head. Why you fed it to the beast? Now the beast are made in savage. Sucking away the shitty ass blunt, son, that be full of babbage. Pumping on the fluff, in the gods I trust. New alerted clan, knocking up the place, your brain is dust like dust. In the 2200 miles they walk, fuck the robber, I was lost. Bumble clock, city talk, put him off the one, go catch me, God, you best bow down. To the king's up, Allah, master, I rule everything around. My circumference always hot, watch your ass evaporate. Stick the shit out your bitch while your ass is working late. Hate the evil in the living, manifest as she young. Spinning more black holes than Mr. Maxwell Young. So one, bring them styles of mind, no for cause of vision. Miss treading dice like Wolverine from Michigan.
Boy, come in like this, bam!
Every day there's new slaughter when you try cross the border. Every day a gun fire when you try test the border. Every day there's new slaughter when you try cross the border. Every day a gun fire when you try test the border.
Represent to the fullest. Reaching for my level, you like the gravitational pulling. Universally speaking, a man is you a divine soldier. With my style, down versatile, to wear your ass like Folgers. Niggas land booty pebbles, Lord Master dropping boulder. Six on the ground and black jack still can't reach me. President, teach me, please, please. Jack and heat, that's my seed. Niggas all fall at me when we crush them, they read. I don't keep you talking, niggas like a boss in the breeze. Your religion's all twisted, living them last prophecies. Culture of hip hop, civilized Jews run the town. Like my righteous brother Jesus, cutting heads as devils around. Marijuana small, maintain its own hinge. Make a challenge, one son, I got your brains for revenge. They lay it in the ass and ass, there's a damn body flame. 12 niggas, one chop is still running, worth a shame. Just a fucking pussy boy, all on my nutsack. Why your ass believing and following? I'm knowledgeing actual facts. Got your poop shooting, telling my story. In the way of caucus history. Black man that a God York, so tell the real story. Give me hot enough to place, you leave him dead, so fuck a trace. Come to crash your savage ass with your body from my grave. Give me hot enough to place, leave him dead, so fuck a trace. Come to crash your savage ass with your fallen from my grave.
Come again.
Every day there be slaughter when you try cross the border. Every day a gun fire when you try test the water. Every day there's new slaughter when you try cross the border. Every day a gun fire when you try test the water.
Tell them again, dog.
Every day there's new slaughter when you try cross the border.
New world order flag.
Every day a gun fire when you try test the border.
New millennium. True self.
Every day there's new slaughter when you try cross the border. Every day a gun fire when you try test the border.
Straight pride, no homo cancer. Burn him down like JoJo Dancer. My mind was sober and rich prior till his hip fire stormed the villages and shot the face of the true messiah. Play your hand right, straight face, no poker. The vanguard, top five, our books will trump jokers. Spooked by the door, Dido got green reasons. Till they become abreast, I milk the system like breastfeeding. Most of us grew up thinking white man's savior, and we won't give him his props for his pimping his player. Got us loving his women, give it up for some paper. Television image just helping grain his behavior. So the pump to Mr. Drummond, magnum for Mrs. Garrett. Black adoption is abduction. Empty clips on Webster's parents. We sit and watch it happen like a sitcom clapping. Beautiful black children abducted by acting faggots.
Brooklyn. My flag fly high, minus the dogma. Heal my people, kill enemies, that's the mantra. I got cream with me, nah, not ganja. Still revealing the villain, and the pistols is penicillin. They say a virus need a host. I resurrected like Osiris with papyruses filled with dope. Hey, Ruth, I fuck up commas to get autonomous. It ain't hard being the best when most of the rappers in your genre suck. Look at these crowd bums, go crowdfund some loud guns. Some of y'all move like the South one. They hanging on to every word a brother utter. Just call me your pops, cause I'm that mother. Go get your hatchet at a cracker. Conscious fools acting ratchet, supposedly promoting balance. Rebuke them, they say they spooking. They weak as hell, remove them. Don't mistake sleepers for sleeper cells.
Listen, my messages are heaven sent. Your pride of lions getting trampled by these elephants. Ready, you're never hesitant. Listen, me and Dream from the UF team. Them red beams getting aimed at your spleen. I'm ill as a 16 when spitting 16s. We blitzkrieg your bitch team. Got an iron mic, you miss Dream. Negroes emulating crackers on big screens. Go and marry your beast, having babies with mixed genes. Talk about Wesley, you just sad and depressing. You soften this salad dressing. Your scholarship don't impress me. Dr. Big Homie, keep his name out your mouth. Before the pump shot, he turn you to a stain on the couch. One step us out the mosque and be laying you out. Now this asshole ain't a faggot, you just ganging the mouth. There's no kind of hate, no lecture or no debate. We just setting the record straight by punching you in the face.
Born warrior from a soldier, live from Hell's Kitchen, we turn the stove up. Who wanna be the king of spitting? I'm the cobra, survive the vultures with culture in the holster. We jump as concrete, stump you till the pothole sinking. So you know this is Sapo season. Power plant base, I'm not for beefing. Been in pros as a teen before I got so vegan. And now it's Anglo-Saxon on the menu. No cannibal, I'm Hannibal with the mentor. Quick stand, bury you with the pencil. And catch waves of hollows from the insult. That'll turn the Teflon to a swimsuit. No forgiveness, but two to the simple. That'll make you forgetful. Disciples who don't carry Bibles, we carry rifles. This is us who live crow.
How about we start from the end of my blade, poke through your heart and don't stop till we hear your body drop. Count cool and move on to the next redneck who thought it was cool to carve up my mother's breast. It don't matter, bring me a Spaniard of a backpacker. Line them up so I can light them up, I'm treating crackers like they whack rappers. Bring on a firing squad to clip them, I bombard skunk of the planet hard for the hard of hearing. For the intellectual midgets with impaired vision, I raise the dead to a perpendicular disposition with ancient wisdom vows in the beginning. I'm from a proud line of unapologetically wild Indians. I'm a gorilla from the womb to the tomb. Spitting plume, snake, wall paint, tattooed to the tomb. I bust notes with the arts upmost. Villainous brush strokes, hit only built for warlords, killers, and cutthroats.
Brick City, Hype Town, CMV. Good morning, New Jersey. From the bricks to the burbs. One word to describe, simply put it, superb. Keep my foot in the earth, steady putting in work. Stake my claim to my surf, pull that thing from my shirt. Yo, this hardball, you saw Paul's playing with nerfs. Motherfuckers think it's a game, so they framing a hearse. On they way from the church, spot to lay in that dirt. In the business of bringing hurt, feel the pain in my verse. A king since birth, no need of praising my worth. I'm 24K, you lame, small change in a purse. I came for the purge, word is he claim me the best. I aim at his chest, full kick, face painted a mess. Battlefield bread, never wonder what's next. Like Nat, but instead of a musket, I bust text. Resurrection of my father, reflecting his footsteps. Check mics with a 1-2, more techniques than kung fu. My warrior art, like Sun Tzu.
Yo, let me holla at him, Che. Yo, eyes open, body get up. Libate my aura strategically, and immediately my psyche lit up and ready for work. Deter these gents from testing, they ain't ready for dirt. I'm armed to the teeth with bombs meant to hurt feelings, meant to murk. Killers a natural occurrence. I'm able and very willing to carry out that. Stop flogging, you ain't about that. You ain't mobbing like RBGs. You ain't a problem like CED. represent that reek, P-A-T, nation facing any drama, I lace them proper, not a wise decision to threaten, but first apologize. What? Good night, Irene, where the Hulk when you need them? Somewhere on a big screen in the movie called Freedom, but when duty calls, they Instagramming and tweeting by more town hall meetings, power lecture weekends whenever you see them, but less feet on the ground. Lone wolves lead the billing clubs, beating you down, and that's organizing 101, foreign is a cummerbund. Y'all see where I'm coming from, probably before the summer's done. Watch, and when this verse pop, I'll be the conscious enemy number one. Get in line, bro, I got 100 of them, homie, I ain't much done, y'all. Red shirt still new to the turf, but wanna run the ball. Soon as they fall, who you think the first person they call?
Something.
Who you think they calling, huh?
Talk to them, man. Sopho gang. Right in front. Sahir RPG, Chase Black. Doc Mocky. UFG, Bomani. Green, the pastor. University Ave. Sabrio, where you at? Sopho gang. Blech!
Peace, 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 Black Tower family. Welcome to the Black Survivor Die Series, broadcasting live every Warrior Wednesday by the National Minister of Defense of the Black Riders Liberation Party and the National Deputy Field Marshal of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under the leadership of National Chairwoman Crystal Muhammad. I speak about Warrior Educator Minister King Samir Shabazz. The phone number to call in today, family, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege and duty at this time to introduce to some and present to others our warrior educator, battlefield strategist, and founder of the longest standing program, come hell or high water, here on Due Knowledge Radio, the Black Survivor Die series, the Black Survival General Civilization class, the orienter for our African insurrection mind, one of the coldest and the boldest, and one of the last true in the line of ancestral warrior scholars. And of that line, a true cut of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. I speak of none other than my brother, the Black Dragon himself, Minister King Samir Shabazz, Black Power.
Black power, black power, black power. A BB for Hodie. Warrior salute. Warrior salute. Warrior salute. You are listening to the National Minister of Defense of the Black Riders Liberation Party, the National Field Marshal, Deputy Field Marshal of the New Black Panther Party, under the leadership of the Honorable Warrior Queen, Sister Crystal Muhammad, and a four-star general of the Azanian People's Liberation Army of Azania, South Africa. Welcome, Black family. Welcome, 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 welcome. Now, I had to pull something out the bag this week. I got a nice little surprise. A great comrade of mine. Yes, we have a special guest tonight. Have a special guest with some warrior information and some pertinent information that is going to help us survive the prison industrial complex help us survive the agent provocateur movement. A great comrade of mine, I've known for a very long time. We go black. Blacker than goddamn chicken and fish grease in a Crisco can. We go black. Blacker than black. Very long history. And his brother was just recently kidnapped, held behind enemy lines. And he's free. He is free. He is with us right here on Do the Knowledge Radio and the Survive or Die class on Warrior Wednesday. And this man has, you probably have seen some of his work for me. The very first song you heard tonight on the opening of the show every day, that is my single, my fiery single, that this brother did the video for. And he also has done a few interview one-on-one sessions with me, and it's all over YouTube. And the man I'm talking about is the grandstand himself, none other than the mighty warrior Shade Black. Black power, welcome to the Survive or Die class, warrior. Warrior salute.
BB for Hodier, brother. You can hear me? Come on.
Yes, sir. We can hear you loud and clear. BB for Hodier.
Black Power fam, appreciate you having me on your program, you know.
Yes, sir. No doubt. What's good, black man?
Well, you know, I'm back in the free world. I've been back, or in the free cycle. I've been back for about 5 weeks now. You know, I just came off of, I did a 3 with a 1. You mean, you know, a 3-year sentence with eligibility for parole in 1. That's how they number it in Jersey for a weapons possession, firearm. But initially, they tried to pretty much say I was running and operating a drug facility, a heroin facility, which was completely bogus. But, you know, we was able to prove that that was completely fabricated. However, with the weapons, that was a whole other situation with the pistol. So instead of trying to fight it out and taking a lengthy trial and risking 5 with a 7, or 7 with a 5, I should say, which is pretty much a max out sentence in New Jersey, I decided to just cop out to a 3 with a 1 so that I could be home within a year, possibly 2 if they gave me a hit. You know, the max out on a 3-year sentence is 27 months, so I would have been home within 2 years. So it was a decision I had to make. Do I come home in a year to 2, or do I run the risk and try to fight it and risk being in there between 5 and 7 years? So
right,
I decided to opt that out.
So what was
the
actual charge?
The actual charge was possession of a firearm. It was possession of a firearms with the intent to commit a CDS. I've never heard of the intent to commit CDS charge before. I wasn't exactly aware of that. Well, the initial charge was, let me see, well, I got this paperwork over here. Hold on for one second, bro.
Okay. For those who don't know, CDS is what they classify as drugs, paraphernalia, stuff like that. So with the intent to, okay, this is getting ready to get crazy. Go ahead, Black.
Yeah, with the intent to commit CDS, I'm trying to look through this paperwork to see my exact charge. But basically, the charge was okay, here we go. Unlawful possession of a weapon, CDS distribution near school property, possession of 50 grams or less of marijuana, distribution of heroin or cocaine less than a half ounce, operating the CDS. I mean, it was a whole bunch of charges, but in the end, I ended up with the weapons charge and a attempt to commit CDS. That was what I ended up actually pleading out. So I didn't even realize the attempt to CDS was on it, because my agreement was that I would cop out to the weapons and that they would dismiss all the drug charges, being that there was no case on me. The whole situation, I'll tell you how the whole situation came about. I travel a lot, so I'm not home often. So I rent rooms out of my home when I'm gone. And I was renting out some room, a room to a particular brother. His name is Wardell Harris. I was renting a room out to this dude, and he was, I don't know what he had going on, but he had a lot going on, so I decided it was time for him to leave. And 3 weeks after he left, apparently whatever he was doing, they had reason to come and kick in the door looking for him. I just happened to be at the house that day collecting rent from another tenant when they came in the home and bum-rushed the house. I'm not knowing this is police. I'm just hearing noise. I don't hear police. I don't hear none of that. I'm upstairs. I hear a bunch of glass and stuff breaking downstairs, so I'm upstairs, so I'm not knowing what's going on. So by the time they came upstairs, they found a firearm, and you know, that was the charge that they was able to bring me in on, was the firearm. But okay. In my whole discovery, I'm not mentioned once. Like, they had a whole investigation where they had witnessed this person they said they was looking for. They said he came to my house looking for someone else, but they had witnessed this person on three different occasions distributing heroin from one of my locations, from my property. So with that said, they had this person. They knew who they was coming for. They knew who they were looking for. They ended up getting me, and somehow this person doesn't have any charges at all. Never got arrested, never got questioned by the police or any of that. But the warrant had his name on it, not mine. I found that to be pretty interesting right there in itself, you know. And as far as going down, when I went down and I got arrested in March of 2018. Or no, I'm sorry, March of 2017. I actually didn't start my sentence, but I fought it from the streets. I fought the sentence, and I got sentenced on April 13th, 2019, and I came home June 12th. April 12th, 2018, and I came home June 12th, 2019. But basically, when a lot of brothers in this movement, you know, because you got a lot of brothers in this movement that they like, they're on the celebrity side of it. You know, they like to make noise. They like to let it be known, this, that, and third. They're not really doing much work. However, they're making a lot of noise. They might be making music. They're expressing certain views, certain opinions that. Don't get it twisted for one second. These crackers pay attention to all of that. So when you end up in a place like I did, they sent me down to Bayside Prison. When you end up in a place like that, they know what's going on. They know who you are. So now you're labeled and you're targeted. You know, they had me as a STG, which is a security threat group, and then they had me as a terror threat, you know. And I'm sitting there like, okay, is this some gang-related stuff? They said, nah, I'm considered a black extremist. So that right there affected my status within the prison. Like I said, I had a 3 with a 1. So with a 3 with a 1, you're looking at, you already got minimum security. You're already ready to go to a camp, a halfway house. You're already eligible for all that stuff that you could get. However, I had to wait 8 months behind the wall before they even released me to the minimum security unit. You know, they had me in Bayside, which they consider, I guess, a medium security, but, I mean, it's anything but medium. It was 23 hours and it was 23 hours lockdown, basically.
You know what's crazy, Jay? It's like that in the county, in the counties of New Jersey as well.
Indeed.
23 hours lockdown. Well, what they've been doing just recently, now they're doing rent shifts. You see what I'm saying? So one tier might get a morning rec for 2 hours.
Right.
Then the bottom tier would get evening rec for 2 hours. And then they'll just constantly switch back and forth like that. So I want y'all to pay attention to what's being said, because the state of New Jersey is a bitch.
Indeed.
You understand what I'm saying? These motherfuckers are so damn crookedly, shit, everywhere is. Don't get me wrong at all, okay? Every damn state in the United States of America is crooked as fuck. But New Jersey, these bastards, see, I don't know if y'all been paying attention or not paying attention. New Jersey no longer has bail.
Exactly.
They call themselves trying to push those who are in the jail system for nonviolent offenses and, you know, drug offenses, little stuff, just little stupid stuff, jaywalking. Man, I was with a brother who was, who, bro, this man was in jail for a year and 2 months for a goddamn jaywalking. He had a $100 bail. Nobody could pay his bail. But New Jersey removed the entire bail system. So now they're classifying black men under this fucked up ass point system. I done seen motherfuckers come before the goddamn judge, bruh, who just let off 65 rounds of a Draco on a goddamn carjacking. The judge said, free to go.
Yeah.
When them motherfuckers brought me up there, bro, that judge looked at me and said, huh, detained.
Mm-hmm.
See? So I'm sure, I want y'all to pay attention to, really pay attention to what's being said, because there's a lot of fucking hypocrisy, okay, in the prison system. No matter what goddamn state you in, it's full of shit. But I'm going to let the God finish. But I just had to build on that just a little bit, because what he's saying is very important, because I went through the same shit. Cancellation of court date. You understand what I mean? Had to sit here for, and then being put out of my jurisdiction. I'm locked up somewhere I had no fucking business even being in, a completely different state. So that's how these motherfuckers is getting down. So I know the story is going to get even juicier. So go ahead, Black.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. You know, like I said, so now, I go to court, I get sentenced. I'm in the county for about a month. I was supposed to be in the county for about a week, and they're supposed to come ship me out. Everybody who got sentenced will be got shipped right out. But for some reason, my JOC, or what do they call it? JOC, judgment of conviction. The judge hadn't signed off on it, so I had to write the judge while I was in the county to get him to sign off on it, so I could start my prison bid, so I could get out of the state. I mean, out of the county, and finally go downstate. So I get downstate. I mean, I get the CRAF, which is Central Reception and Facilitation. That's a prison that you go to before you go to actual prison. So it's a prison, but that's where they hold you until they classify what prison you're going to go to.
That's now the warehouse.
I'm going to get classified. Exactly. That's the warehouse. So now they classify me. They tell me, okay, we're going to send you to Bayside State Prison, which is down in Leesburg, New Jersey. Now, a lot of people who are not familiar with New Jersey or their prison system, Leesburg, Bayside has the highest mortality inmate rate. Them crackers kill you down there. Like, as soon as I got down there, the COs, they got COs walking around there looking like Brock Lesnar and Stone Cold, just waiting for something to jump on, waiting to push a button and call a code. You know, I was down there for 2 months, my first 2 months down, and I seen a deaf guy get murdered because the COs felt like he wasn't listening to him. You know, and that's not a joke. I'm dead serious. They killed this man because they were giving him instructions as he was walking away. He can't hear them. He got his back to him. They felt like he was disrespecting them, and they beat him until he was dead. You know, that's the type of things that was going on in Bayside. You know, they have a lot of racist cops. You don't have a lot of inmates fighting inmates in Bayside, because when they push that code, they know somebody's, you know, they're not going to be the same when they're done with them. And I've seen it firsthand.
Ain't Bayside the one with the fucking swastika on top of the prison?
I believe so. I believe so.
I think that is Bayside, G. They have a fucking big ass roof side swastika. Are y'all listening?
Yeah, people.
These motherfuckers, I think that is Bayside, G.
If it's not Bayside, it's Southwoods. It's one or the other.
Right. It's one of them two.
And they're right up the street.
Big ass swastika.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So.
And what he's telling you is dead ass truth. Because them crackers don't answer to nobody but themselves. So you get caught up, sit out there, man, listen. Listen. You can have an easy time. You can have a hard time.
Exactly. They actually had a black woman who was the administrator of the prison who had was trying to, I guess, perform or whatever, clean things up or whatever have you. And it was so rough for her, she had to resign. But before she resigned, she had to have state police escorts to and from work. And this is from the employees that she's the administrator over that she had to fear from going to and from work. Like, that's how racist it was down there. You know, anybody who's ever been to Bayside will tell you, Bayside, it's completely racist. Which all of these jails are racist, but Bayside is probably the most, that in Southwest are probably the two most racist, the two most mortality rate the face they got. But let me just rewind real quick when I'm still in the county. Now I'm in the county, you know, and I'm waiting to hear from people, and, you know, I'm still in the county, so people know where I'm at. I haven't went anywhere yet. You know, they know I'm in Camden, so they know I'm in Camden County. And while I'm there, you know, I actually had a visit from federal agents, which threw me completely off because in my mind, I'm not on no type of radar, and at least in my mind, I'm like, okay, you a big dog to me, brother. Like, you somebody I look up to, somebody I say I know. So I'm looking at it like, all right, I'm just me. I'm behind the scene with the camera, you know, running around with the camera and shit. So they come and visit me, and they ask me about, you know, a particular organization I did a lot of work with and was dealing with. And they asked me, and the irony of it is they didn't ask me no questions that they couldn't have already known. So I'm knowing what they're doing. I know they're asking me the questions that they asked me to see if I could corroborate what they know. And then they say, okay, he answered these right. So now let's hit him with a question we don't know. But me being me, you know, I don't know nothing. So there was nothing I could tell them. You know, and now I'm waiting on people to get back with me so I can get in touch with them to tell them, yo, man, like, this is what happened. And it never happened. You know, I never heard from these people. So it was like, damn, you know, I don't want to. You know, I'm not here to start no beef with nobody or no issues that I might have with certain people publicly. So I'm not going to name the names and whatnot. But it kind of hurt because I'm like, man, I'm in here. And at the end of the day, I'm catching slack because of my affiliation with them. And it's like, all right, I'm expecting to hear something back. But I didn't. So now they get the crab now. Now I'm back at crab. They classify me in crab to Bayside Prison. And I got a vascular necrosis in my hip, so I got to put in a slit. You know, it's a deteriorating issue where I can't be hopping up and down no bump, so I need a bottom bump. That's automatically. So they had to send me to the infirmary. I had to get x-rays, all this shit. But when I get to the infirmary, I keep hearing I'm the anti-gay dude. Like, the whole time I'm anti-white, anti-gay. You know what I mean? Which, I mean, basically is the truth, but this is how they running to you know, the other COs and inmates and whatnot. So now they bring me in to the infirmary, and there's two parts of the infirmary. There's one part where you're messed up, you're just sick, whatever, they lay you down, you're in a bed, you know. Then there's another side where they have a lot of people that's in there who are in the middle of sex change operations and, you know, motherfuckers with breasts and shit, you know what I mean? Like, just some old weird, crazy shit. So now I'm here to get an x-ray, but I end up on that side. You understand what I'm saying? Labeled as the anti-gay guy, you know. And I sat in there for 3 days, and I'm supposed to have a one-day, I'm supposed to get examined in 1 day and then be right back to the population. But instead, I had to sit there 3 days so they could x-ray me and whatnot. And that was a whole ordeal in itself, because now I'm in here, and, like, you know, I had to get busy. It was, you know, it wasn't no, and a lot of people understand that, you know, in jail, like I said, there wasn't a lot of fights in Bayside, but you're going to have to stand up for yourself at some point or another, especially when you're targeted by the COs, and the COs want to mess with you. They'll put you with people they know don't rock with you. They'll put you with people from a town they know got beef with your town or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And that's what the type of stuff I was dealing with. You know, they put me with people that they know, you know what I mean? I might have an affiliation with these brothers, and they know that these brothers have an issue with them, so they'll put me in with them brothers. You know, the thing that kept me good, and this isn't necessarily a good thing for my history, but years ago, I was getting in a lot of trouble. So I've been in the prison system. I've been in, almost every county in New Jersey jail. The juvenile, all of that. So I know a lot of people in the prison system because it's full of the same people. They come in, they go back. They, you know, they come home, they go back. So I'm, because of that, And because of, I used to be in the streets heavy, I know a lot of people. So that right there is what kept me good. You know, and it's crazy because you got a lot of, and this is what I want to warn a lot of people about. You got a lot of brothers that's in this community that's rejected by their neighborhoods, that don't really have no, they don't have no place to go back, and homeboys that they grew up with or whatever that, that precede them in this movement. That's probably a lot of reasons why some of these brothers is in this movement, because they can be somebody here. It's unfortunately that we have a movement like that, but this community is full of people who are basically nobodies at home, but they can come out here and they could, you know, they could read a couple books, they could read Chancellor Williams, you know, they could read Diop, and, you know, they could come quote verbatim, and, you know, people are attracted or drawn to them. You know, they could have this fearless aura or this energy that, that's as pretentious, but yet nobody is checking them. Nobody knows their resume from before that to say this, that, and the third. So I just want to warn a lot of people, like, you end up in a situation like this, now you're stuck. And you don't know none of these people. These cats don't give a fuck about none of this conscious shit. They don't care about none. You in there with the criminals of New Jersey, for lack of a better term. I mean, you in there with the hood, though. You in there with the hood, you know. And you hand in hand with the hood. And they don't know you. You know what I mean? And if you don't got that support from the people that you rocking with on the outside, it's going to be a rough trip for you. I don't think a lot of brothers really understand that. And that's a risk that just being in this movement you're going to take, a risk of being set up. Like, I'm familiar with your situation, so I know how things go. You know, we run the risk every day just being out there saying the stuff we say in front of the people. We run that risk of being pulled over, and next thing you know, they pulling out a syringe out the car and you getting hemmed up over some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Or they, whatever the case may be. So this is a, something that we have to deal with. And a lot of brothers, they not ready for that. They not ready to be dealing with these COs. They not ready to be dealing with the people that's behind bars, you know. And I was just fortunate that my background enabled me to be able to move and maneuver around these people, you know, without no issues. You know, or I say with minimum issues, because you always going to have something. Somebody's always going to have something to say. But for the most part, that part I was good with. I was the problem I had was with the authority. So now, like I was saying, I had to spend 8 months behind the wall. Once I finally got my status, I had to keep dropping from my status. Every time I dropped from my status, something would come up, and they would say, oh, well, you got a warrant out of this county. No, I don't. That was taken care of before I got arrested. You got to, you know, stuff from 5 years was popping up. Well, there's possibility that they might be dropping charges on you for an incident that happened at my home where somebody got shot. Never happened. No charges ever got dropped. But now I'm waiting to hear about this the whole time. You know, in my mind, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't believe I was coming home until they opened the door. Even when I got my date, even when I, you know, I'm 2 days away from coming home the night before, I'm like, until they open the door and I walk out, I don't know what's going to happen the way they was acting and the way they was moving, because paperwork was always getting messed up. Even my parole date, I was supposed to parole in at the end of March. I didn't actually get home until June, because they held me up. They gave me a 2.5 month extension before they would release me, you know. So when I get my I finally get to the camps, and from the camps is when I got to the halfway house and all of that. And even the halfway house they sent me to, I live in Camden, you know, well, right outside of Camden. They sent me all the way to the bottom of New Jersey, where it's like I'm supposed to be going here so I could work, and that when I get home, I have employment for parole and all of that. But they sent me so far out that even if I got a job out there, there's no way I can maintain and come back home with that job. You know, they put me in a place where I don't know nobody. I'm in the woods. I'm in the country. In fact, the building that they put me in was right across the street from Southwood Prison. And although they call it a halfway house, it was anything but a halfway house, you know. And it was messed up because I petitioned to go to Camden while I was in prison. Like, look, you want to send me to a halfway house, I need to be in Camden. I need to be close to my family. You know, my mother has health issues. She can't come all the way down. My mother's all the way at Trenton. She can't come all the way out to Bridgeton, New Jersey, to driving back and forth to come visit me. You know, my children, they all the way up there. So it was just a hassle being down there like that. You know, the only thing that kept me good is knowing that at the end of the day, I max out. You know, I have a date. You know, even if I had to max out, my max out date will only be 2 years. So I hate to be in jail. I hate to be away from my family, but I know I'm coming home. I know I don't got life. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, see, I didn't tell y'all this part. When I first got You know, when they first offered me my first plea deal, the first plea deal they offered me was 20 with a 10.
Mm.
That was the first deal that they offered me. And, you know, I looked at that like, yo, that bugging. There's no way I'm even thinking about that. We going to trial. The second deal they offered me was a 10 with a 5. So when they offered me the 10 with a 5, I said, okay, they case isn't as strong as they trying to act like it is. So I told them the same thing. We going to trial. Then they came back with the 5 with a 1. I still told them I was going to trial. And about 3 days later, my lawyer hit me on the phone and was like, look, I just spoke to the prosecutor. They're willing to bring it down to a 3 with a 1, which means, you know, at the worst, if you have to max out, you'll be home in about 27 months. So I thought about that long and hard, and I decided that was probably the best move for me. Because in order for me to even beat the gun possession, you know, there was two other brothers in the room with me. One was a tenant and one was a friend of mine. I would have had to make it look like the gun was possibly theirs. And I'm not doing that. I'm not. It's not something I'm going to do. So I didn't want to. I didn't want to do that, you know, because I had a 50-50 chance of actually beating my case, but I wasn't about to run that risk and doing, like I said, 5 or 7 years. Because the drugs was already off the tape. By the time we got down to that, the drug they couldn't. They knew we was beating the drug charges. Because like I said, they didn't have me on any of the surveillance. They didn't have me like I said, they had me none of the surveillance. None of the paperwork, nothing that they had my name, my face in it. Even when I looked at the paperwork after I was in the county, I'm looking at the paperwork like they don't even have nothing on me but this gun, which they didn't find on my actual person. However, they had made up their mind that I'm the person that out of the three of us they wanted to take. You know, they had their mind on that. So I had to go on that. And ironically, when I first get locked up, the first thing they tell me is, look, oh, we know it's not you. This is who we're looking for. Boom, boom, boom. Tell us what you know, and you can go home to death. Now, I don't even believe that was the case. However, like I said, I don't know nothing. I told you earlier, I didn't know what this guy was doing. I just knew he was doing a lot. So I told him I couldn't help him. Ironically, this guy never gets arrested. He never gets locked up. Never. You know, to the point where even right before the police kicked in my door, he actually had called me to check on me and see if I was all right, which I felt was weird. And then 10 minutes later, I get arrested. You know, the cops come kicking my door like they knew I was home. So I don't know what was going on. I haven't seen no paperwork to say that this individual was in cahoots with the police. However, things don't add up to what I know. You understand? Things aren't adding up to why he never got arrested and why I did the time and how they went from 20 years to 3 with a 1, you know, and how what happened with all this surveillance that they was doing, this investigation, all these controlled buys that they claimed that they had. In my paperwork, it says that they had 3 controlled buys from my home with heroin, but yet no arrest was made for that. So I found that pretty peculiar that would happen. Mm-hmm. But I know how this works, though, because, like I said, I've been around for a while. You know, I've been conscious for a while. I've been in this, even when I was conscious, I've been in the streets for a long time, you know, so I had a whole nother life doing a whole lot of other shit that I'm not proud of, that I'm not happy about. However, you know, for the past, since 2010, I would say, I decided that, you know, it's time for me to just stay in this lane and really work for the liberation of our people, you know, and that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years, I would say. I've been conscious way longer than that. You know,
okay. You had mentioned earlier about the feds coming to you. What were some of the questions they was asking?
They wanted to know how many members what I estimate was in this particular movement, who the leadership were, and how many different chapters and in what cities were the chapters in. Now, these are questions that in my mind they had to already know the answer. If you're doing any type of surveillance, you got to know, at least, you know, have an idea of these answers. So, yeah, they wanted to know. And what they offered me, I didn't even tell you what they offered me. What they offered me was this, is that if I could give them some information now, they would release me on intense supervised parole, that I would be home, but I would have to report to an officer twice a week and all this other nonsense for 18 months. And that during that time, I would have to cooperate with them on any investigation that they got going on with this organization, and that I would have to give them information, as you know, as they would ask me, like they would want me to pretty much be an informant, basically. That's how I looked at it. They wanted me to be an informant, and that wasn't even an option. That wasn't even a consideration. Like I looked at them like, I don't know what to tell you. Then when I told them that, they started bringing up stuff from years ago, like, well, this is open and this never was solved, and is, you know, we believe you may have been involved with this. And I'm just like, man, I don't know nothing about nothing you're talking right now. You know, I'm ready to go back to myself. I don't know. There's nothing I can help you with. So, yeah, they definitely came, and those were the questions that they asked me. And, you know, I ain't even going to lie to you. I was nervous. You know what I mean? It was my first time having federal agents sit down and really question me. I mean, I didn't show them that, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, damn, am I coming home? Like, you know what I mean? I got a 3 with a 1. I'm expecting to be home in about a year. I already got everything set for when I come home, and it's like, hey, am I coming home? You know what I'm saying? And then when I got classified the base side, I remember coming out of classification, and I'm talking to my man. He was like, yeah, what they send me? I said, base side. He said, what, you got a lot of time or something? I thought you had a little skid bid. I'm like, why you say that? He said, they don't usually just classify nobody with a year, with who's eligible for parole in a year. And I was already under a year from all the time I did from when I initially got locked up. And then from, like I said, I did a month in the county. So now I'm around 10 months. I'm roughly at the 10-month mark. So he's like, you got less than a year. Why are they sending you the base side? Which was crazy to me, but, you know, and I didn't know, you know what I mean? I'm not knowing Bayside, just that. I mean, I've been through the system and all that, but I was, last time I had been incarcerated, it was 14 years ago, and I was in Annandale at a youth facility. I was in my 20s at the time, so that was a whole different experience. Like, this was a whole different experience, and that was a minimum security joint. I was moving around freely in there. You know, it was still prison, but the experience was completely different. You know, I'm in here with cats who, I'm talking to cats, and they like, yeah, man, well, you know, I just did 17 in Rawway. I got another 10 left. And I'm sitting there like, why am I in the cell next to you? You know what I mean? Like, we not even in the same situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at cats, and, you know, in jail, you know, they do. Brothers be looking real preserved in there. I'm looking at brothers, I'm thinking they 30 years old. They like, man, I just did 19 years. You know what I mean? And I got another 5 or 10 left. I'm sitting there like, and they put me in here? They classify me with child? You know, but like I said, they know who their enemies are. They know who out there making noise. And once they got you, you subject to all type of stuff. You know, like I done took 2 ass whoopings in there. I ain't even gonna lie. I took 2 ass whoopings in there. One by the police. You know, when I first got to Bayside, which going in there, they actually had to wait till my face healed up to take my ID picture. Because, you know, you got to walk around with ID on you in prison. I actually had to wait to get my picture taken. So now I couldn't even leave my cell except for to eat, because I didn't even have no ID. And to take a shower, that's it. I couldn't even go in the yard for the hour wreck that we did have, because I didn't have an ID. So I had to wait about 2 weeks to get an ID, about a week and a half, you know. And then, you know, and they sent me in that infirmary. You know, it went down. And it's not, you know, it ain't go down the way they wanted it to go down, but it went down in there. And they got me up out of there. I didn't have nobody on the outside. I wasn't in communication with nobody on the outside. So it's like, being I don't have no communication with nobody, I can't get no help. Now, so I can't get nobody to check up on me. Yo, you know, what's going on with it? Nothing. So I was pretty much on my own. You know what I'm saying? And that's another thing, like, for brothers out there who know somebody who's locked up or whatever the situation may be, you got to check on brothers. You got to make sure they hide in there, because it's not a good place to be. Like, I'm still fucked up over this whole experience. And even though it was a small bid and I wasn't in there for no 5, 10 years or nothing like that, the experience was still a rough experience on me, because I'm not no longer out there in the streets doing all this rowdy bullshit. So now I'm in a different stage of my life, but now I'm right back in the jungle that I walked away from, you know? Right. And it's like, now I got to go back to instincts. I got to go back to those instincts and move in a certain way, because I'm not getting no help from the outside, so... At the end of the day, and even getting help from the outside, it's still the survival inside. You still got to know protocol. You still got to know what to do, what not to do. You know what I mean? And pretty much mind your business. You know what I mean? Don't involve yourself with someone else's business and watch who you associate with. So I had to be mindful of all of that. And at the same time, I'm that racist or I'm that black supremacist anti-homosexual guy up in there. Everywhere I went, that was following me. You know, everywhere I went, they made sure, the COs made sure that they let it be known, you know, that I'm the anti-white dude. I'm this pro-black militant guy up in there. You know, and in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to just go in there and slide and nobody's going to know me and I'm going to be good, but it didn't work out like that. And a lot of brothers need to understand that. You might just think that, oh, I only ran on Facebook. Man, the ranch, man, there's algorithms that follow what we say. So they, you know, when you get locked up, all that shit gets researched and looked at, you know. And even if you're nobody, even if you're just playing with it, they're not going to treat you like that. They're going to show you they're your enemy. They're going to show and prove to you that they are your enemy. And a lot of brothers aren't ready for that. A lot of brothers, I hate to say it, but a lot of brothers, they're not ready to be in that type of situation. Unfortunately, I had to, like I said, I was forced into it, and I had to survive, so I survived, because that's what I do, you know. Yeah.
What, did they have any kind of programs, you know, basically for brothers trying to, you know, readjust, you know, back into society, shit like that? Did they have anything viable for brothers in Daytop?
In the actual prison system, not really. They have certain programs that they claim will help you get, you know, help you get a license to be a plumber or different, like, heavy equipment and all that. But these certificates don't really hold no weight. The certificates is basically like if you go to school for something, you have to do so many hours. What it does is, right. I'm not going to say it doesn't help at all, but what it really does is it just says that you've done X amount of hours. But it's not enough that you could go out and say, I'm a carpenter or I'm a plumber. It's just something to say, if you're going to a school, say you got to do 1,000 hours. Well, I only have to do 700 hours now because I completed this course while I was in the prison. So, you know, it right. can help, but at the end of the day, it wasn't as what they made it to be. Now, when you get into the halfway house, because everything is a process. You go from the prison to the, I mean, you go from the county to the prison warehouse to the prison. Then you go from the prison to an assessment center where they assess you, they classify you, then you go to the halfway house. They classify you on certain things, on your criminal history, on your sentence, where you live at. All of that plays a factor of where they decide to send you. The halfway house, now in the halfway houses, they have programs that help you because you're basically in a community release program. So they have programs that can help you, you know, integrate, especially certain other, like there's certain halfway houses that, yeah, they do have programs, you know, help you get a job. So when you come home, you're already working, things of that nature, help you get a place if you don't have a place to stay. Where I was at, though, yeah, that wasn't the case. Where they sent me was a two-building facility. One building was the work release building, and the other building is the building where they program you before you can go to work release. And the programming is 4 months. You know, it's supposed to be 3 months, but it runs roughly about 4 months. I did about 3.5 months, and then when I got to the other building, I was ready for I was almost ready to go home. So I got a job when I got to the other building immediately. However, as soon as I got the job, I was ready to go home already. We was already coming into the spring. So okay. They didn't help me out with that. And that was one of the things that while I was in prison, I was writing classification, telling them, look, this is the things I need to do. I want to be able to have employment when I get home. So sending me to a halfway house that's not far from my home would help me out with that. Like, these are things I asked about. I asked about, because, you know, they offer you different school while you're in the halfway house. I said, look, I need to go to school. They sent me to a place where they didn't want to let me leave the building to go to school, and I had to wait 4 months, whereas if I went to another halfway house, I would have waited about 30 days, and then I would have been eligible to go to school. I'd have been eligible to work. I was eligible to even come home on furloughs. Where they put me, I was never able to even get to those phases because of how that building works. So they have them, but not where I was at like that. You know.
Okay. Well, family, we're at the top of the hour, and we're going to take a small music break with our guest, Jay Black, live right here on Survive or Die Warrior Wednesday. The call-in number, 929-477-1755. Again, the number to call in. If you have any questions for our guests, any comments, words of encouragement, motivation, you want to send him some money, give him some money, call in right now. 929-477-1755. Again, that's 929-477-1755. Press the number one. See, that's the trick part. Press the number damn one. When you press number one, you'll be in the queue, and we'll get right to you with your question or your comment. So sit tight. We're going to hear a little bit more from our brother, Shay Black, and then we're going to go to the phone line. But stay tuned. We'll be right back at you after this small music break. Black Power.
Let's go, fellas. Shout time's up in 5 minutes. That's it. 5 more minutes and that's it. Back to work, fellas. Back to work.
Yo, little Khadija pops is locked. She wanna pop the lock. My prison ain't nothing but a private stock. And she be dreaming about his date of release. She hates the police, but loved by her grandma who hugs and kisses her. Her father's a political prisoner, free Fred. Son of a panther that the government shot dead back in 12-4-1969. 4 o'clock in the morning, it's terrible, but it's fine. Cause Fred Hampton Jr. looks just like him, walks just like him, talks just like him. And it might be frightening the feds and the snitches to see him organize the gang, brothers and sisters. So he had to be framed, yo. You know how the game go. 18 years because the 5-0 said so. They said he set it fire to an A-Rap store, but he ignited the minds of the young black and poor. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail fate. Super maximum cans will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Collect call from Ness. Where are you? Yo, shit is crazy, boo. Yo, I miss you. Yo, what? Can you put some money in my commissary?
Lil' Kenny been smoking Lucy since he was 12. Now he 25, locked up with an L, they call him Triple K. Cause he killed 3 niggas, another ghetto child got turned into a killer. His pops was a Vietnam veteran on heroin, used like a pawn by these white North Americans. Mama couldn't handle the stress and went crazy. Grandmama had to raise the baby, just a young boy, born to a life of poverty. Hustling, robbery, whatever brung the paper home. Carried the chrome like a blind man, hold a cane, tattoos all over his chest so you could know his name. But y'all know how the game goes. D's kicked in the front door and guess who they came for? A young nigga headed for the pen, could've been, should've been, never see the hood again. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail fate. Super maximum cans will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up behind enemy lines. My niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail fate. Super maximum cans will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Cuando yo llamo es como tú no me quieres escuchar. No he visto mis hijos, mi mujer. No me mandan retrato, no tengo dinero. Estoy aquí jodido en la cárcel, metido.
You ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living. 30,000 niggas a day up in the bin. Standard routine, they put us in a box. Just like our life on the block.
Behind enemy.
You ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living. 30,000 niggas a day up in the bin. Standard routine, they put us in a box. Just like our life on the block.
Behind enemy lines. Yeah, my people so sick, but we building pyramids on foundations made of bricks. From my crown to my kicks, I'm a god and I sense this battle growing intense. Target practice on Negroes rotting the fence. My black fist bang, my black fist bang. And I ain't your child, I ain't your slave. Donald Trump shutting borders down. While in Jamaica they raping, taking the organs out. From Brooklyn to Orange Mound. If you black and you straight, then let's all get down. I'm talking revolution. I'm talking executions of these faggots in the movement. Garvey gave the blueprint.
But you cowards never do shit. Roll with the warlords, they'll take the handle of the sword off. Roll a crack his jaw off for points on the scoreboard. Grab a devil with my hands, rip his horns off. Flip him like a coin toss for looking at my loincloth.
A soft foe, who be those knockers making noise, Lord? Lyrical liberations, what I use my voice for. All praise, this is just the views of the South Wall. Send him straight to Doc Marty, stick with it without cross. Caught his body with Bomani, shot he letting rounds off. If you would've let me hear my kings and queens sound off. Black power, you heard me? Black power, put your fist higher, let me hear it louder. It sounds good to me, vivid volumes from my lead. The public housing, University Avenue. Failure is not an option. Okay. Track 8 and repeat. Got me ready to get it popping. Children's story, Deedle Green players, the children nodding. Sweet dreams of crushing crackers, no chili. My bean, are hot as it seems. Red beam is dotted. I'm just stating what's obvious. View through binoculars, I can tell that they watching us. These illusions is optical. I hope that you can see me clearer. Melanated greatness, take a look in the mirror. Youngin', proud to be black is what America scared of. So we label the terror, killers and cuts. Bro, shape black, try to prepare you. Beware of your surroundings at all times. Third eye, word like a scanner. Evolution, who wants this monkey beard clipped like banana? Tighten your circle up, check your parameters. What's on the other side is for anybody who challenges.
Yes. They wanna bring the 90s and the 80s back.
Me?
I just wanna bring Haiti back. Melanated greatness in my epidermis, soul and plateless.
They already dead, that's why they call Cajun.
Choose a side, don't let ego and foolish pride make your actions by default a suicide.
Blah, let it sink in.
Let it sink.
I hope you're thinking as this joint sinks in. We got the right combo for that safe shit.
Water only combo when we talking liberation.
Yeah.
We the more rappers, them crumb snacks and jappin' mouth.
Go put a classic out.
And keep our handles out your mouth. I dream in Kiswahili.
Living for seasons, I shiki.
For really putting quality kazi.
God, feel me.
I'm in like slip.
But down to get the lead out.
Africa on my mind.
But been telling y'all to...
all right, black power, black power, black power, black motherfucking power. We're live right here on Warrior Wednesdays, the Survive or Die class, with our guest, Brother Shay Black. And we're building on the effects and the different situations of the prison system and how these pigs are moving and operating when it comes to so-called, as they now call, black identity extremism. So just as the feds came to talk to Brother Che while he was in prison, see, my situation was a little different. See, these bastards kidnapped me from my probation. See? And then took me to a remote location and then questioned me. It questioned me about the whereabouts and the exact location of Asada Shakur. These bastards kidnapped me to help them find and capture Auntie Asada. So, as I kindly told each and every one of them motherfuckers to line up so he can kiss my ass. They came with some cockamamie ass stories. Nothing new. But I understood at that very moment. They wanted me to help them bring down the new Black Panther Party. Both factions. But at the time, I was not a member under Crystal Muhammad. I wasn't even a member of the other faction under Hashim and Zynga. But to show you how stupid these motherfuckers are, they haven't really been doing their homework at all. See? So we must pay attention to funny acting ass niggas. Niggas who come in the cypher with all these weird ass questions. Just out of the damn blue. Nigga called my phone, Che. 2 o'clock in the fucking morning, bruh. To ask me if I had Asada's number, if I could get in touch with her, if I could give him her contact information because he needs to run some security plans over with her.
Damn.
2 o'clock in the fucking morning. I hung the phone up on the nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, don't you ever call my goddamn phone. Let alone 2 o'clock in the morning for some bullshit, but then you questioning me for some information about Asada? Nigga, do you know how sensitive that topic is?
Word.
And you think I'm going to sit on the phone with you at 2 o'clock in the morning and give you her information? Come find out this was the same nigga who was the agent who failed twice before on the same goddamn maneuver the pigs put him on.
I didn't know he... Come here, little cat.
So...
Mm-mm.
Come here, where you
going? We gotta pay fucking attention. We gotta pay attention. I'm not even gonna talk about my ex-wife. Who is reporting to Officer Cochise in cahoots with the nigga who set me up. Oh, this shit gets very deep, bro. It goes so deep that you would look at yourself and say, wow, I'm really that dude? You did? So they shit me all the way to fucking Newark. Mind you, the case or the quote investigation was taking place in Philadelphia. So the charge of gun trafficking took place here in Philadelphia, not Newark, New Jersey. So the bullshit. Oh yeah, they came at me first with a flat 20.
Hey.
Oh yeah. Not doing none of that. Fuck you. Fuck your family. Fuck the judge. I'm not doing none of that shit. Let's just say I ended up with 5 years probation. Again. Then probation tried to set me up. They tried to violate me with a case that didn't even have anything to do with the violation at hand. The case, this case I was charged with, took place before I got on probation. So how are you trying to charge me for some shit that took place before I even was sentenced to a probation? So the flim-flam and the flim-flam and the filth-farm flim-flam. But I wore their ass out in court. So much to the point the fucking judge had to look at me and say, damn. You know, if you wouldn't have opened your mouth, we was going to send your ass back to Rikers Island. For 7 to 15, bro.
Damn.
On some set up nigga shit.
Yeah, they wasn't expecting you. They wouldn't expect you to run your mouth like that at all.
Not at all. So, when I got my discovery, all the names came out. All the supposedly confidential fucking informants, all of your fucking names is in the goddamn discovery. So I'm trying to figure out how confidential you motherfuckers really are. You dig? So we need to pay attention. Stop talking so goddamn much to everybody. Sometimes we just need to learn when to shut the fuck up. You dig? So I'm going to let Brother Che finish up. And then we're going to open up the phone line for any questions or comments that y'all might have for the brother. Jay, the floor is yours.
What you just said was real about, you know, basically shutting the fuck up. Because for some reason, we get in front of these police officers and we get in these stations and we all of a sudden, that's when we want to be all intelligent and articulate and try to talk our way out of something. And that's never going to happen. You're only going to talk yourself into something when you're dealing with the police because, as they tell you, you have the right to remain silent, and anything you say can and absolutely will be used against you. So, you know, that's when you post it. That's when I get as dumb as I can be. I don't know shit. I don't know nothing. I barely know my name right now. I don't know what you're talking about. And that's the problem, that people get in these situations, and now all of a sudden they want to try to talk themselves out of something and not realize that they can actually talk themselves. Not actually, they will actually talk themselves all the way into the situation. I'm sure everybody's familiar with First 48. And you watch that show half the time, they telling on themselves because that's what they need you to do. They need you to talk, you know. And that was one of the things that I, you know, even in my police report, for my arrest report, I gave no statement at all. I don't know why I'm here. That's all I can tell them. I don't know why I'm here. You know, y'all got me here. That I can't help y'all with nothing that y'all got because I don't know nothing about that. I don't know why I'm involved with none of this. I don't know nothing. So that's the one thing that people need to know. When you're dealing with these police, you know what I mean, don't say shit. That's your right. Don't speak. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. Don't put yourself there. Don't say, yeah, but I did this. I walked away at this point. None of that because it's not going to help you. Once you put yourself there, it's over. You done gave them what they wanted, and that's what they're looking for. You know, I was talking about basically earlier, I had mentioned how, you know, I wasn't getting people wasn't calling me or wasn't, or not, I shouldn't say calling me, but nobody was contacting me, nobody was writing me and whatnot. And a lot of that had to do with this situation, you know, that happened directly after I got locked up. Like,